Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What are you drinking there, Jesse?
Cool, cool.
What are you drinking, Jesse?
I am sipping on some Don Julio.
This is going to be a fucked up show.
So Ooh, you're welcome.
It's going to be a fight before the end of the show.
I know. Already, I think we lost everyone that, every girl that's been DMing Joel, don't you think?
Already?
On the last one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The episode dropped, so
yeah.
We'll see what's
probably because of my Menendez boys impersonation, right?
And they're taking that out on Joel?
What?
They're taking that out on Joel?
No, so they DM him, remember, for him to tell me something.
That she's doing wrong.
That was wrong.
Or that she doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For example, poor Ejemplo, the Menendez bros were molested.
Yeah.
And I need to know that.
Yeah, and they'll send me like a bunch of links that I'm supposed to send to you. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
To prove it.
It'd be different if he actually sent it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I did, but you don't check your DMs.
You did?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, why open your DMs?
Yeah.
You got better things to do.
For what?
Yeah.
I have life to live. I have life to live. And I'm good with the 8 listeners that we have. Do you know what I mean?
We're up to 8 now?
I know. I don't need any more.
We are fucking going straight to the moon on this show.
I don't need any more.
Best show on the network.
You know what I mean?
Are we on the network yet?
What? Not yet. No. Oh, yeah. Audio. Audio.
Okay, audio. Okay.
Audio. Cool. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. If me and Jesse keep fucking the boss, we're going to get there at some point.
Right? Right? Mm. You keep not responding to those DMs. Okay?
Okay.
Don't pay them any mind.
What if they pay me?
Look, you know I say, do whatever you have to do.
Okay.
For the money. Guys, hi. Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Yeah!
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Two in a row.
Cheers.
Cheers. Two in a row. We're getting there. Two more and we're big time.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. We're back to our roots, show-wise, right? Last week we did somewhat of a heavy hitter, technically serial killer.
The giggling granny.
The giggling granny.
Yeah.
Right?
She's really only on the list of heavy hitters because there's so few female serial killers to choose from. So
true.
You got Nanny Doss, you got...
And if it's your family...
The Morse killers, Ed and...
As far as heavy hitters?
Yeah, as far
that
as...
That we haven't done?
Yeah, like, well, in terms of female serial killers...
Oh, there's Warnos.
Really, Warnos, she's a big one out there. I'd say that she's number one when it comes to female serial killers.
Yeah, most famous.
Then aside from that, you got Nanny Doss. Who was the second half of the Morse killers? It was Ed and... I think it was Ed and somebody else.
Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, it must have been Ed
and
Sheeran.
And Lorena Bobbitt.
Yeah. Yeah, we just don't, you know, there's not many black serial killers either, right?
True.
We just have other shit to do.
Or
we don't get
getting
caught.
Away with it.
Yep. We're not as gruesome with it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably other female serial killers that have fucking gotten away with it that we don't know about.
So, but it's hard to imagine a woman not being like really big and over the top and hysterical about something that they right. want to do.
Bungling something, right?
Yeah.
It's like she had 11. That's huge.
That is a good, that's a good count.
But I think we said too, the years that she was operating, very easy to get away with stuff.
Very easy to get insurance claims too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you can just take them out on anyone.
Willy nil.
Back in the good old days, you could take insurance claims out on people that you didn't even know.
Like we said, the good old
businesses
days.
Could take out insurance claims, like life insurance claims on their employees. So if one of their employees died, they get a payout for some reason.
What the fuck? So when I was putting the little photos and stuff on the show,
yeah,
when she was younger, she was kind of hot.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, was she? I couldn't picture
there's
that.
One photo of her I found. It's like her with her first kid.
Oh.
And it's all, you know, it's old looking, but I was like, oh, okay.
Really?
If she was smoking darts, you know, and fucking drinking whiskey.
Oh, drinking
I'd be like, let's
straight
go.
Whiskey and ready to fucking.
It looked like that.
Fuck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But most giggling. Of her photos is when she's older, you know.
Giggling, flirting.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking whiskey, smoking
darts. You're
going
to have to show me that picture after the show because
I
still can't see it.
I don't. He maybe pick like some.
I mean, she's got a stronger jawline than I do.
Yeah, she's always been a
When you see that picture and then you see her uh-huh. when she got older, I'm like, oh, man.
She's
at some
always...
point, she fell off.
Yeah.
At some point, it got her, you know, that drinking and smoking.
Has to, dude. Hasn't gotten us yet, though, right?
Hell no.
Ooh, looking good. Looking good.
Tequila.
Keep telling myself that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so back to our roots because this is one of our classiques. It's where we make our, you know, our bones. A husband.
Okay, of course.
Always, right? A husband, one time, that was just maybe the only way out. Although, this is another thing that we like to do. Not sure. There is a verdict, but we can debate.
Ooh.
Right?
I think by the end of the episode, there is going to be a little bit of a debate as we, you know, kind of
I think so.
Chew on
you,
the information for a little
yeah,
while.
Yeah, you're a contrarian, right?
I learned it from Joel.
So true.
Nuh-uh.
No, you didn't. I've never done that.
I'm not that.
So, yeah, this is a classic. Did he? Didn't he? Did she deserve it? No, I'm just kidding. What?
Yeah, that part's still up in the air. That's the part that I wanted to talk about is whether or not she had it coming.
Right. Bad luck or just needed to get out of a sticky situation.
Just stop nagging so much.
Right.
Just
the
let the man work.
Only option is for me to kill you. That's it. That's it. Always.
That's
you can't just walk away.
Pro tip, guys. Divorce the lawyers. You know what I mean? They take you for a ride. It lasts forever. Easier just to fucking kill him.
Antifree.
It's all a scam.
Antifree.
She's a little antifree.
All right. So this is the case of Heidi Furcus. Heidi and Nick Furcus. On April 25th, 2010, St. Paul, Minnesota. Oh, we should have had Jack on for this
Minnesota.
One, huh? We should have. He would have loved to just do that accent the whole time. St. Paul, Minnesota, 911 dispatch received a frantic phone call from 25-year-old Heidi Furcus. The panicked woman reported that someone was trying to break into the home she shared with her husband, 27-year-old Nick Furcus. The following is the recording of the call. So, let's go into this. This one's not that long, so...
911 call.
Starting date, Sunday, April 25, 2010, at 6 hours, 32 minutes, and 12 seconds a.m.
She sounds weird, huh?
Yeah.
Patrol 911.
Someone's trying to break into my home.
What city are you in? St. Paul?
I'm in St. Paul.
Hang on just a second. What address are you at?
1794.
1794 what?
911,
what's
your emergency?
State with 1794.
Minnehaha Avenue.
Minnehaha, someone's trying west. Somebody's trying to break in our house.
Did you hear that?
It's so quiet.
I know.
Well, 494-4876.
Joel, did you hear anything strange about that?
Like a little scream in the background?
So what you heard was was her screaming and a gunshot, and then the phone went
dead. I didn't hear the gunshot part, but I heard
it
scream.
It's really, really quiet.
Because guns are quiet in real life.
Yeah, surprisingly. That's the reason I don't have tinnitus.
1794. 1794 what?
911, what's your emergency?
State with 1794. Minnehaha Avenue.
Minnehaha, someone's trying west. Somebody's trying to break in her house.
Whoa.
Okay, what phone number
so
are you?
It's kind of wild. Yeah. And then it's gone. As you heard before, the call could be completed. A gunshot could be heard, followed by a pained scream from Heidi. Then the line went dead. Roughly 65 seconds after that call from Heidi, a second call was made to 911, this time by her husband, Nick, hysterical and in pain. Nick attempted to tell police what had happened.
Oh, shit.
So now we'll listen to Nikki's, good old Nikki's call.
Starting date, Sunday, April 25, 2010, at 6:33 and
this is early in the morning, too. This is not nighttime.
State Patrol 911. Okay, are you in St. Paul, sir? Okay, hold. Let me get you right in there. Hold on one second. Okay, hold on. Hold on a sec. Okay, they'll be right with you. Hold on one second with me.
911.
Okay, now this is the one on in St. Paul. Go ahead, sir.
No, sir. No.
Hello?
No.
Can you tell me where you are?
The fuck?
West. You're in West?
West.
Are you in a house or an apartment? What's the problem?
What's the problem now?
Why are you being such a baby?
Okay, stay on the phone with me, okay?
Okay.
What's your name? What
is... Dispatch is on pills for sure.
It's always so...
Sometimes
you get a good one, and sometimes it's just like...
Okay, stay on the phone with me, okay? Do not hang up. Nick, are you still with me?
Jesus.
Where is the guy that shot you?
Fire, medical...
Hi, this is police. We're going to need your assistance on a burglary at 1794 Minnehaha Avenue West in St. Paul. I have a shooting victim. I do not have any other information yet.
Did he say his wife is shot too?
Yeah, that was the first thing that he says as soon as the, or close to when the call starts, is he said somebody broke into the house and shot me and my wife.
Your leg?
Is there more than one wound? Are you the only one that's injured?
No, 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 no.
Medic, hold on a second. Nick.
I know what side Jesse's on now.
No, you're not armed, right? The leg?
Your leg? Are you fucking... Please, dude. You fired all of them.
Fired into ABAC.
You said your wife is shot also?
Yeah.
Do
Jesus.
Dude, we get it.
Nick, are you just playing video games?
Nick.
What's funny? What is he laughing about?
No, it's just, you know, the comedy of life.
In the leg.
Jesus, Jesus.
I mean, I'd hate to hear if he was shot anywhere else, huh?
Did an owl do this one too, Jesse?
You've been hanging out with your wife too much. A fucking owl did the last one. And on and on like that. And on and on like that.
It goes on for a while.
It goes on and on like that. Yeah. So.
That was fucked up.
So police raced to the Firkus residence, arriving while Nick was still on the phone with 911 and crying like a baby. The front door of the residence was slightly ajar, and police noted that they could still smell gunpowder in the air. Upon searching the residence, they found Heidi laying on her back in the kitchen with her feet pointed towards the door. Nick was on the ground beside her, sobbing uncontrollably, as we just heard. He had a single gunshot wound in his upper left leg. Heidi was sadly already deceased. The murder weapon, a break-action double-barrel shotgun, was discovered on the floor in an adjoining room.
Sick. Sawed-off?
No, not sawed-off. Mm. Dude, listen to the way that he cried. Do you think he's going to have a sawed-off shotgun in his house?
Good point.
Yeah.
Nick was taken to the local hospital, where he was treated for a minor wound to his leg and released 3 hours later. Sadly, Heidi was pronounced dead at the scene. Later that morning, police brought Nick in for questioning. Have you seen pictures of the wound? The leg wound?
No.
So they mimic the way that the gun was being held when he got the leg wound, because when he got shot in the leg, it was while he was struggling with the intruder.
Right.
And he showed with his crutch the way that the shotgun was being held.
Yeah.
I was really surprised that the wound does look a little gruesome. I've only seen the picture where it's already packed with gauze.
Mm-hmm.
But a 12-gauge shotgun that close pressed up against your leg, I thought that it would have taken half of his leg off, but it just took a good chunk of meat out of there.
Right. So what Coop is talking about is Nick's account of what happened. So he's talking to the police. He's still in hospital, kind of looking garb.
Did you just say in hospital?
In hospital, like.
Have you been spending a lot of time like hanging out with British people or watching British television?
I said he's in hospital, like garb.
Oh, I thought you were saying in hospital.
Oh, so like, he was in hospital.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what you were saying.
No, we're in we're crazy. In Minnesota.
That in maths.
We're in Minnesota, yeah. So. Nothing like that. But I think...
So he was in the hospital, you hoser.
Kind of scrubs-looking things, wasn't he? It looked like... He literally looked like he just came from the hospital.
I don't think it was full-blown like a hospital gown, but he definitely... He did go straight from the hospital to be interrogated by the cops.
On crutches still, and sat and talked to the first detective on the case. So, according to Nick, around 6:30 a.m., that Sunday morning, he had gotten up to get a glass of water. After returning to bed, he began to fall back asleep when he was startled by the sound of someone forcing their way into the house. He said jiggling the door.
Yeah, he heard somebody jiggling the door handle.
Because it was locked. Yeah. The bolt wasn't thrown, but the knob was locked. So he heard somebody jiggling the door. Nick grabbed his shotgun and, first he told Heidi to go to call 911 and see what was happening.
He was like, Heidi, there's someone at the door. Grabbed his gun, I mean, shot honestly, her in the back, and then shot himself in the leg because he was scared.
Call 911.
Use your intuition and really think about how you feel when you hear this story. Okay?
Okay.
You call 25-year-old tiny little Heidi. You go and check it out and call 911. I'm going to go load my shotgun. I'll be right there. So she's why you wouldn't even if I hear any noise, Ross is like, stay here. Stay here. I'm gonna go like don't leave, you know what I mean? Don't leave the room. I'm gonna go figure it out. And that's Ross. So do you know what I'm saying? the bar is low. She's on the phone. She's like walking down the stairs ahead of him.
Jesus.
She's on the phone calling. He's got the shotgun. He said, then she moved behind him. He went to the door. And they forced their way through the front door where they were confronted by Nick. So he's right at the door. He has the shotgun. The home invader lunged at Nick and attempted to, so he's pointing the gun at him, which, like you said, Coop, he's showing the detective with his crutch. And he's saying that the intruder grabbed his shotgun and they're struggling with it. And in the struggle, the gun went off one time, shot Heidi, and they're still struggling. It went off again and hit her.
Twice.
Oh, no. That one hit his leg?
The second one hit his leg. There were only
two
rounds.
Okay, so they're saying it went off, shot her, perfect shot, night-night. And then the second one right in his leg.
When you, I think maybe we should put some, there's video of the police walking through the residence, like while the body's still on the ground, and you're able to see where the front door is in relation to the stairs.
It's a very tiny area.
Very tiny, and also the shotgun would have to make a complete 180 to do what Nick said it did.
And in the 911 call, I know you can't really hear that much, but I didn't hear a heightened anything in her voice that she was like watching a struggle, right? She was saying someone is trying to break into my house, right? Trying to.
Seemed scared, but not frantic in the way that you would be if
just
you were watching your
to
husband
like
fight for his life.
I think someone's trying. I think she said, I think someone's trying to break into our house. She just needs like someone there. She doesn't know what's going on in her call, right?
Right.
Had she been watching somebody struggle and then getting shot, I think it would have sounded a little different, but I don't know where. If she was like in the other room and then walked in, whatever, not sure.
Okay.
so the second shot strikes Nick in the leg, and during this interview in the interrogation, he was unsure whether it was him or the assailant that pulled the trigger. But he was holding it, so they would have to like, I don't know, hard to kind of picture.
And that's specifically for the second shot that he was pointing out that he didn't know whether it was him or the assailant that fired it.
With Nick subdued and the weapon now empty, the culprit tossed it to the floor and fled the scene.
And I want to reiterate that this is a break-action double-barrel shotgun. According to his story, the reason that the guy split, they fired both rounds in the shotgun, and then he was just done and left.
Right.
Now that the gun is completely unloaded, you would think the situation would be a little bit easier for him. One of them's dead. The other person has been shot in the leg.
There's only two.
He kind of has free run of the house. I mean, Heidi's dead. Nick's been shot in the leg.
Right.
That's time to go whatever it was that you came for.
If we go with the story, someone was trying to break in and maybe steal some stuff and was not
wasn't
wanting
planning for gunshots,
to kill anybody and freaked out and left. That could also be, right?
Yeah, we'll find out later. I think he was in there looking for the one ring. Did you see the police sketch?
He's tiny?
Dude, you got to see the police sketch. The police sketch is fucking out of control.
Yeah. You'll put it up, I'm sure.
Before the murder, Nick and Heidi had been a happy Midwestern couple who had met in church in their early 20s. Oh, that's where I like to pick up girls, too. Nick worked for his family's upholstery cleaning business, scrubbing various stains out of various fabrics. Heidi worked for a financial services company called Securian, most likely turning big numbers into little numbers and little numbers into big numbers. The couple had purchased their home on West Minnehaha. Did you have me read this specifically because it's the only paragraph that says Minnehaha?
Minnehaha, yeah.
Is it a goofy-ass fucking street?
Yeah, Minnehaha.
The couple had purchased their home on West Minnehaha Street in 2007 and settled in to live happily ever after, up until the whole murder part.
Sure.
And the guy was Minnie also. Ha-ha.
Oh, Joel.
Yeah, nailed it.
You should go on Kill Tony. The ensuing investigation was unable to uncover any conclusive evidence that could lead them to the killer or killers. Nick was unable to give a description of the person who shot his wife, and you can really tell by the fucking sketch. I laughed so hard when I saw the sketch for the first time. Or even conclusively say how many intruders there had been. He did, however, help police create a sketch of the intruder that looks like he sells drugs to David the Gnome.
So after that, he had talked to the police like 3 times, kind of the same way as the first interrogation, just... They wanted, it didn't seem like they were looking at him as a suspect. So it was really just trying to get details, talk to him 3 times. After that, he was like, I think I need a lawyer. Smart. So he got a lawyer, and the person that did the sketch even was an independent sketch artist, because the lawyers didn't even want him like using the police sketch artist, because they thought that they would use that time to kind of interrogate him again. So after that, he was done.
I wonder if he's one of those caricature artists that hangs out around like Man's Chinese Theater and shit, because
that's how it looked.
Yeah.
So police dug into Nick and Heidi's personal lives, hoping to uncover anything that might give them a suspect or a motive. By all accounts, the Ferkuses were a normal, happy, law-abiding, God-fearing Midwestern couple. Nick didn't even have any mistresses urging him to run away with them, and Heidi wasn't secretly running a drug ring selling steroids to kids at the Special Olympics. They were a perfectly normal couple. The worst thing the police uncovered was that they were behind on some bills. Really behind on some bills. Like real behind.
Like somebody needs to start listening to the Dave Ramsey podcast behind.
Yeah. Also, there wasn't even like an insurance policy. So like it wasn't like he was, you know what I mean? Even if they did have money troubles, that wasn't going like
he wasn't
death,
as smart as the giggling grandma.
Right. Like her death wasn't helping him out in any way.
So when you sent the case over and I started reading through it, the first thing that I thought was, oh, it's got to be an insurance claim. That's a very obvious reason to kill your spouse.
By the way, if you're going to go through all of that.
Especially when you're in dire straits financially.
Yes.
Like, it's just flat out dumb to not have a life insurance policy if you're going to kill your spouse. I mean, just...
Well, maybe if he did do it, I think he's innocent. But if he did do it, maybe he just felt bad for how stressed she was and put her down for her.
Could be, because...
like she was an old, worn-out horse.
So
like,
she was just
time
so
to
stressed
go.
Out. Yeah. And it was, like, driving her crazy. So he was like, I think the best thing to do is to shoot her in the back of the
shotgun.
Yeah,
and he couldn't fix it, money-wise.
Yeah, he knew he couldn't do it.
So it's like...
He didn't want her to suffer.
Bye.
It's the code of the West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Like putting down a horse with a broken leg.
Yes. This is it.
If only it was that easy.
So like true. The scene from Legends of the Fall when the cow is stuck in the barbed wire and Brad Pitt starts crying. I think it was like that.
Dude, yeah. I still have a hard time believing. Isn't that one of your favorite movies?
I just watched it last night.
Again?
It's so good. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
Oh, okay.
At all. I'm just saying the first time that Joel told me that was his favorite film.
One of my favorites.
Okay.
One of his favorites.
Not in the top 10.
During
but
the,
sure.
Really? Oh, this was a long time ago.
And a lot of movies have come out since then.
Pretty hazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was shocked.
I cried like three times just the other night when I watched it too.
You've watched that multiple times, and you still haven't seen Tremors.
No, I've never seen Tremors.
I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
It's leaving Netflix, by the way, guys, if you want to see Legends of the Fall. It's leaving Netflix in the next week or two. That's why I watched it.
My algorithm would not even pick it up. Yeah.
God bless you for giving that Brad Pitt movie the old Crime Corner bump.
I know. He needs
he's
a break.
He's so handsome, Brad Pitt.
He needs a break, that guy.
Yeah, he's at the tail end of his career, struggling to find work.
Hey, you know what? There's a cool connection in that movie when his brother gets killed in the war. He goes and scalps a bunch of Nazis.
Sure.
And then 1,000 years later, he's in, you know, a movie with Quentin Tarantino scalping Nazis again. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh.
Just saying.
All right. I'm at least 90% sure that your timelines are slightly off.
I think he was Russians in the...
I don't think that the Nazis were around during the expansion west.
Yeah.
While
I think it was
when that movie
they were
was
Nazis
set.
To me.
Sure.
Either way, he was scalping Nazis.
No, just bad guys. Did they give all the Native Americans German accents in the movie also?
Scalp any Native Americans?
I'm just saying. Usually, like around that time period, you would give all the bad guys.
I think
German
I would
accents.
Go Dances with Wolves over that.
No, it's not as good.
Yeah,
great movie though.
I've seen Dances with Wolves more times.
Yeah. It's so good.
Wait, are you talking about actual Dances with Wolves, or are you talking about Avatar?
Same movie.
Okay, because I haven't seen the Kevin Costner one.
Tatanka.
Is that a Navi word?
Yeah.
Joel, you should know. You worked on one of the movies.
It's Navi for Buffalo.
Oh, I didn't even know they had Buffalo in there.
This is dumb. Cut that out.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Nick and Heidi had purchased their home in 2007 for $215,000. Imagine that, $215,000 for a house in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or St. Paul, Minnesota in 2007.
They're probably cheaper now.
Right before the good times, right?
Right before the bubble popped. The last time they had made a payment on either one of their mortgages, so they took out two mortgages to get this house. The last time they had made a payment on either one of their mortgages was in September of 2008, nearly 2 years before Heidi's death. In fact, their home had been auctioned off by the bank in June of 2009. The couple were due to be evicted the day after the attack on Monday, April 26th.
Damn. 2008,
think,
huh?
What do you think, Joel?
That made me just realize when that was going on, Jesse, we were getting shit-faced on Jim Beam on the pier in Ventura.
In 2008?
You could say that about a whole lot of different years, though.
Yeah. That could be 2009, 2010.
10, 11, 12. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say realistically anything between like
last
1986
year?
And now.
Yeah. If we ever were in Ventura all together again. Yeah. According to Heidi's family and friends, like, she didn't say anything. And even in the interrogation, he goes, nobody knew, right? Our family, we were embarrassed. Nobody knew about it.
He specifically says to the cop that's interrogating him, he's like, the only people that know about this are me and you. Or something along the lines of, you're the first person that I've told.
Yes. But to get to the point of auctioning off and eviction, I think that's, I mean, someone, a mom, they're very close with their family and friends, like, be really weird for someone not to know.
So how the hell do you hide that for so long that it gets to the point that the bank actually auctions off your house? And where's all the goddamn money going? Like, what is this guy spending his money on in St. Paul, Minnesota, back in 2007?
Yeah.
That's so goddamn expensive.
I don't know. But the other...
It's not like it's a single income household. Him and his wife were both working.
Hookers and cocaine.
And apparently he came from a pretty wealthy family. Or, you know, business...
Business owning. At the very least, they were upper middle class. Yeah. And, well, I mean, later on in the story, we'll find out they had enough money to buy a house.
Right.
In terms of his family or his parents. Looking at police footage of the Furcus home, one might notice that it doesn't look like the home of someone who was being evicted the following day. Nothing had been packed, and no plans for the new living accommodations had been made. That's because Nick had been keeping all of this secret even from Heidi, who had been under the impression that they were financially stable. Heidi had even been telling her friends that they were considering selling the house and using the profit to move and upgrade to a nicer home.
Oh, no.
All the while, Nick was desperately trying to figure out how to get out of debt without Heidi finding out.
But, like, was he desperately trying to figure... He didn't make a payment for 2 years.
He got real desperate towards the end, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I would say. But what he was doing, I don't know if you guys have ever gotten, you know, bill collectors, debt collectors, they call constantly. If you have a landline, they're calling. If your wife is on the deed in any way, they're calling. Like, you're getting letters. So his full-time job was intercepting all of these correspondence, right? Because how did she not accidentally get one letter? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's amazing that she didn't catch wind of any of this.
Someone had to have come to the house, or I don't know.
How many phone calls explain away saying, like, oh, it was a wrong call? So he's hiding bill collectors that call him. How many times can you say it's a wrong number before she just assumes that you're having an affair?
Exactly. Or like, oh, don't worry about that. You're like, okay. They're also pretty young too. So if she's just like, all right, you know what I mean? Do I even know how that shit works now? You know?
Mm.
Where you're just like, oh, okay, I guess you're figuring it out. I don't know. But yeah. So financial struggles and shitty communication aren't grounds for a murder conviction.
Unfortunately.
So, I know. So Nick was let go after a few hours of questioning. Nick returned to his job at his family's upholstery business, and Heidi's body was released to her family so they could hold a funeral. With no further leads, the case quickly went cold. It would be another 13 years before the killer was brought to justice. Over the following years, investigators revisited Heidi's case in hopes of finding a solid lead. Nick was their only witness, so his story was scrutinized over and over. The financial struggles and secrecy had already raised suspicions, leading detectives to go over his testimony with a fine-tooth comb. Eventually, holes began to appear in his story, and I think there were like four different lead detectives that had like turned over. The detectives had left or gotten promoted or whatever, so every time a new detective got assigned the case, they would put back out the sketch, they would do interviews on, you know, do media, whatever, and then no leads would come in, and it would just kind of...
How could anybody look at that sketch and think that it's a real fucking person?
But you know, they found that person. Did you see that?
Where? They found somebody that looks like that?
Yes.
What is the sketch? God damn.
I guess you're going to find out once the episode's over, I'll show you a picture. Dude, it's insane. nobody fucking looks like that. It's like a Muslim hobbit.
Yeah, so every time a new detective came on the case, I'm going to find it right now. Every time a new detective came on the case, they would revisit it again with fresh eyes, and every time they were kind of inching, every new person kind of was inching closer and closer to him being the person, but they didn't have any evidence or anything to charge him, so they were just hoping that something...
It was a rare situation where maybe it's not that rare, but all leads and all destinations, it all started in ended with Nick. There was nowhere else to go aside
from that. They tried.
When they went through and investigated the house after the murder, no signs of a break-in, no DNA evidence. There's no evidence of
someone else being there.
The only evidence of the attack is a bunch of shotgun pellets stuck in the the bottom left-hand corner of the front door on the inside.
Okay, can you see that?
Oh, shit.
Right?
Yeah,
that picture is fucked.
Whoa,
it's fucked.
Yeah, but we will get into them actually finding that person.
Oh my God.
So Nick had claimed that it was the sound of the doorknob jiggling that had initially alerted him to the intruders. Considering the location of the master bedroom, the sound had to have been exceptionally loud. Police decided to put that to the test, among other tests that they did at the house over the course of 13 years.
Oh, test if you could hear the, yeah, hear so the like doorknob from the
one
bedroom.
Of them is in the master, and then at the front, they're like jiggling, you know, doing whatever with the door, and they couldn't hear anything.
They recorded a video of them going back to the house, and this is after, you know, the house was already sold at auction. Nick moved out. New families moved in.
Yeah, so they can't get any evidence, but they can do tests like this. They can look at the size of the space. They can look at where someone's, you know, where they would be walking down the stairs, where the struggle
Yeah, and like try and
be.
Reenact the situation and yes. and see how it would go. And I really appreciated the fact that when they did the test to see if you could actually hear the doorknob jiggling from the master bedroom, they went back there at 6:15 in the morning because somebody understood that when the air is colder, sound travels in a different way. So I just had some respect for that.
Wow. Oh. Wow.
And they still couldn't hear it?
Couldn't hear anything.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Interesting.
There's a video of that also. I'll go through and I'll send you the links that I found to all the videos of the investigation. While the police continued to look for the person responsible for Heidi's death, Nick jumped back into the dating pool very, very quickly. Is not as quick as Danny Doss, because holy shit, I don't think anybody goes through relationships as fast as she does. Yeah.
He was about 3 months.
3 months? That's still...
How
like
long
going
were they together?
A while.
Yeah.
Damn.
So they
since she was like 22.
I wasn't able to find the exact date that they had met, but they got their first house together in 2007. And one of the things that I read is that they had already been together for like 4 years at that point. So they're going on at least like 7 years total.
Okay.
At that age,
that's a lot.
Yeah. So you're like only long relationship.
So you're a good church-going Midwestern couple.
Sure.
Been together for 7 years. Your wife dies, and within 3 months you start dating again?
Yes. And so
seems a little
up until that
suspicious.
Point, the families, again, really close friends and everything, were like totally on his side, right? Even her family. We're just like, I can't believe this happened to you. When he started dating someone 3 months after...
They're all like, what the fuck?
Yeah. They kind of were just like, what? And he looked, you know, he seemed so happy and he was moving on. And it was just like, cut all ties and that was it. Which you would do, but maybe not 3 months after.
3 months after your wife gets married, especially after
they're still looking for the person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and you've been with your wife for that long. I would assume that you would have some, unless her family is... like nothing but massive pieces of shit. I would assume that you have some sort of relationship with their family.
Yes.
To cut them off and just move on after 3 months. Little suspect.
Yeah.
Nick jumped back into the dating pool looking for a replacement wife. And he found love once again. And in 2012, he married Rachel Watson. The two had quickly bonded over their recent traumas. Rachel had escaped an abusive relationship and Nick had lost his wife in a violent home invasion.
Rachel.
It was obviously a match made in heaven. Rachel's a very, very pretty lady, too. I have no idea.
Nick? Not so much.
Oof, yeah.
So it was an upgrade for him? Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, he was batting way, way out of his league.
With both, I think.
Actually, yeah, with both.
Yeah, because Heidi's like very cute.
Yeah, and even from the what did he have going for him?
I think it was. I mean, his parents were very successful.
Huh? Must have been lying about like family money.
The church thing, because Rachel was church too.
See, if they hadn't started off in church, I would say big dick. But they started off in church, so it's probably moved a little bit slower than that.
If it was like one of those like fun. Kind of like a Justin Bieber church or something. You've got a lot more to choose from.
If they met in Kanye West church.
Yeah. But like these churches, it's slim pickings, huh? I guess.
He honestly probably took the only attractive church going women in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Got both of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for him, I guess.
Sure.
The couple would go on to have three children and live in a lovely house that Nick's family bought for him. Oh, so wow. His
great
family's making good enough money that they could flat out buy it for him. But he was hiding some of those things from her.
Does she know that they bought it? You know, or
did
he pretend he bought it?
I don't think that Rachel knew that his family bought the house.
Sure.
They were supposed to be paying the mortgage, obviously, but. Her reaction later. Did you listen to the recording that Rachel made?
Yeah.
I think that she wasn't aware of a whole lot of the stuff that was going on. I think she was pretty much in the same position that Heidi was in.
So he's doing the same shit again.
Doing the same thing again.
All the way to the end? Is she going to die?
Well, we're going to find out.
Rachel.
Thank you, Joel.
Rachel.
Rachel.
Classic
did,
Joel.
Rachel did have a smile that could light up a room.
Who else is
going to
die? Yeah. But Nick was allergic to paying bills. He just really did not like doing it.
I want to know so much more about Nick, because I feel like him and I could bro down about some things about just being a piece of shit that doesn't want
to
do anything.
If you could
or
get him
bills
to like open up, he'd just be like, dude, I just.
But
like,
he's just so like he's so shut down and so enclosed that he kills people.
Sure.
Allegedly.
Oh no.
So the couple would go on to have three children and live in a lovely house that Nick's family bought for them, and there they would have lived out their lives in peace if it weren't for Nick's bad habit of not paying his fucking bills.
Yep.
Shit.
Rachel eventually began to find letters, the kind of letters Nick had put a lot of effort into hiding in his previous marriage. Once again, he had been failing to pay the mortgage or property tax on his home. And you would think that he would have learned his lesson the first time around. I mean, that was a pretty drastic conclusion to the first time that he failed to pay his fucking mortgage and his property tax.
I promise. If you just let me get out of this, and he did, I won't do it again, right?
Well, he got away with it, right? So he's like, oh, I can do it again.
Then as soon as he got away, it was like, oh, fuck you, God.
He's like,
I'm going to go do my own thing. Hey,
been there.
Rachel began to grow suspicious of Nick. If he was lying about the mortgage, he could be lying about other things, like what happened to his ex-wife. Not wanting to end up being murdered by the wild-eyed gnome that killed Heidi, which I still fucking refuse to believe exists. There is nobody that looks like that. I am so excited to see somebody that fucking looks like
that. Yes, I'll show you.
Rachel wised up, packed up the kids, and left.
Oh, shit.
Yes, around the time that Rachel left Nick, police once again relaunched their investigation into Heidi's death. The new detective, a woman, she's going to fucking get this motherfucker, right?
Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
Agreed.
There's some things we're good for.
What, is this a movie?
Which is fucking over dudes, right? And
okay, agreed.
They will not bungle that shit. Once again, they relaunched the investigation into Heidi's death. They began to question more aspects of his story, such as the fact that although Nick was the one carrying the shotgun, it was Heidi who went down the stairs first. We don't like that, right?
That's naughty.
We do not like that. Most people in that situation would put the person with the weapon in front.
It's poor weapon control. Like, you don't want...
You all like line up.
So here's the thing. One of the big reasons that when you join the military, they teach you how to march in formation. One of the things that you learn is you don't walk in front of the formation. You always go behind the formation. That's because you want all the guns pointing in one direction.
Exactly.
And you don't want anybody getting in the line of fire. And you also don't put the unarmed person out front.
And you're like tiny 25-year-old wife.
She's not even going to stop any bullets. Like if it was Chris Farley or something, it's like, okay,
go on down.
Lay the barrel on his shoulder, use it as a rest, and he'll absorb a few rounds.
But he did that, right? He was like, go ahead. Go check it out and let me know. Let me know if I need to go down there. So that didn't sit right with them as it did not with us. Most people would be putting the person with the weapon in front, but Nick had chosen to hide behind his petite young wife. Instead of celebrating Nick for being a champion of women's equality, they found this detail suspicious, right? Heidi's phone call gave police more ammunition to use against Nick. According to his story, he was struggling with the intruder while Heidi was on the phone with the 911 operator. Listening back to the recording, there was no struggle happening right next to her as she spoke with the operator, like I said. In fact, she sounded strangely calm for someone watching their husband fight for his life right in front of them. Had Nick been fighting with an attacker, it would have been heard on the recording, and Heidi would have likely been more hysterical.
I'm sure that everybody here can attest to this. If you ever see a husband or a boyfriend in a fight with somebody else,
start masturbating.
The wife or the girlfriend is always there going like, yeah, fuck him up. Fuck him up. She never said
screaming
that.
Or something. Yeah.
Or she's the one that started the fight in the first place.
Sure. And then step back and let you take care of it. Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Nick was now caught in a two-pronged attack by the police and his now estranged wife, Rachel. Rachel couldn't stop wondering what else Nick had been lying to her about. So Rachel set up her own sting operation and secretly recorded a conversation between the two of them. Is that from Batman? Yeah. Okay, I thought so. In the conversation, Rachel flat out asked, do you think we should just pull up the recording? There's a real short one.
Yeah, let me pull that up. And then I'll talk about...
I found it in the middle of somebody else's video, so I wasn't able to send a link for it, but I'm sure it's there somewhere. But she was very open about what it was that she was trying to figure out. She laid out the fact that, okay, you've been lying to me about all of this shit, and that's made me call other things into question. And he's like, well, what else are you questioning? She's like, Heidi.
Everything? Yeah.
Which, realistically, yeah. So it's a combination of little things where she found, she was finding the letters that proved that they hadn't been paying their property tax or their mortgage. And then she started finding receipts laying around in different places, and she would ask him about the receipts for little things. She would ask him about the receipts, whether or not he had bought this, and be like, oh, no, that must be a mistake. I don't know where that came from. So even, like, small purchases he was lying about.
Yeah, like the toilet paper he's using. He's like, I didn't buy that.
I didn't buy that. I don't wipe my ass. So if he's willing to lying about small things all the way up to big things, like the fact that you could possibly be evicted because you're not putting the money from the joint account into the mortgage and into the property tax, it's probably going to go beyond that he's willing to lie about much bigger things.
We don't know what he's spending all the fucking money on.
That's what I want to fucking know. Where is all the goddamn money going? Or his family is just paying him like 2010 minimum wage while he's working at the family business. Because my assumption was that he was into gambling or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I can't, if he doesn't have a drug problem, no drug problem, no drinking problem, like what does a church-going person spend their money on outside of gambling?
Hookers and cocaine.
I mean, unless true.
But all right, now don't know where all the money went?
No, this is the conclusion of this case is recent enough that there's not a whole lot of background information or investigative reports that have been done on it. So at this point, nobody knows. Well, I mean, some people know what he's been spending his money on, but it's not public knowledge.
Okay.
But what the hell does somebody who is so straight-laced, what do they spend their money on? He doesn't have a drug problem, doesn't have a gambling problem. Is he collecting like pop cap toys, like the vinyl figurines or something?
Here, you find it on your phone, and then I am pulling up. So they actually, someone called in a tip. Came in to, I think, the second to last detective about the sketch, And this lady is like, I know who that person is.
Oh, shit.
And it was Mike. Where is it? Sorry. Da-da-da-da, no dead air, and a da-da-da-da, no dead air.
On their phone.
Do-do-do-do, we won't have a dead air, and a It was on
so
here.
So you can tell that Jesse has been doing this for so much longer than us.
We can't have any dead air, and we will not have Or what's the hold music?
Oh my God, you're going to give me flashbacks. Sitting on the phone just waiting to get my goddamn prescription refilled. Holy shit, I hate that song. You ever thought about the people that write those songs? Do they write it specifically for that purpose, or is it just
like...
Did
they get rich off of it?
Yeah, they found the...
I mean, it must be enough.
They found the dude that did. He did not get rich off of it.
That did that song?
It's called like Opus One or something. Come on, motherfucker. God damn it.
All right, Jesse, I know where it is.
Is that important?
I just got to find it.
It is because we're talking about this sketch so much that now I need to...
Well, hang on. Are we looking for the sketch or are we looking
for
Rachel's...
You're looking for the recording. I'm looking for the sketch.
Oh, I'll just be slowly zooming in on the sketch when I'm editing this. With
with
a song playing.
with
that song playing. What's it called? You said Opus 1.
Opus 1. It's okay. You could just look up classic hold music.
All right, I'll put that on right now.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Bum, 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 bum. Oh my God. This is a professional show and you love listening to the professional show.
I'm going to play that song all the way through right now.
It's fucking
not cutting
Mike,
any of this.
It's Mike something, dude. Anyway, they find the guy and
I'll put it on the screen.
Yeah, cuz they have the side by sides, but they're not like saying his name. And police bring him in. And question him. He was notorious, had done jail time.
Really?
For burglary. He would do breaking B&E like around that area. He had gone to jail for it. Never killed anybody, but he would come in with a gun and threaten them, steal the shit, and leave. That's Whoa. All he would do. And they're questioning him. They show him the sketch. He goes, "That's me."
No, I specifically saw that guy kill
shit
ton of orcs.
He goes, "Oh shit, that's me." And the detective is like, he goes, "But I didn't kill anybody, right?" And for some reason, the detective's like, I believe him. So they looked up where he was on the day, and he was in jail.
Oh shit!
Sure enough,
but it was when you show the guy. Yeah, when you show the guy side by side that they found.
It actually
now,
looks like him.
He had been, so they were like, where did Nick find this, you know, like think of this dude? He had been, because he had done so many breaking, you know, burglary in town, he had been on TV.
Oh,
his
shit.
His picture, his mugshot had been on TV a lot. So Nick thought, right, if we believe that he did it, he was like, "All right, I got to come up with somebody, and I've seen this fucking guy.
Been robbing.
Let me frame someone that,
oh, shit.
You know, easy target."
Yeah.
Okay, so I found Rachel's recording.
Okay.
Rachel. But also, there's a really, really good joke in there, because this guy, he looks like a hobbit from one of the old, like the old animated Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, but it's so distinct.
He was part of the Lowriders of Rohan.
Oh God,
I'm sure there's so many good writers.
Like, why?
Lord of the Rings jokes in there.
Why didn't he just pick something nondescript? Do you know what I mean? Like, why would he go so specific? Maybe because he wanted them to find this person quickly, right? But
yeah, I didn't realize that he picked somebody that already existed.
Whether it was subconscious or conscious, right? It was somebody that he had seen, and when they were like, "Sketch someone," he's like, "Tell us what they look like." He just said that. big bug eyes, like, you know.
He did go for the lowest hanging fruit. It was like, black guy with a hoodie.
I know.
It's like, oh, that narrows it down.
Right.
All right, so this is the recording that Rachel made once she got suspicious of Nick. So Rachel, Rachel Watson is Nick's second wife.
Rachel.
Get through this if it was just the lie. I really could. The problem is the Heidi stuff. That's my problem. The problem is I don't 100% believe you. I know it's shocking for you to hear that from me, and it's shocking. Trust me, it's shocking for me to think it.
I don't want to say it. So I actually understand what you're saying. The fact that you're saying it is so indescribably jarring to my soul that I can hardly breathe.
Straight to outrage.
I don't have words, Rach. It is too traumatic. And I don't know what else to tell you.
The fact that you're lying was so easy for you to do in front of me over and over and over makes me think
that
you could lie about something.
That I could burn my life.
Yes.
There are 100 things going through your mind right now.
And you want to say more?
I wouldn't. You know, we opened this conversation. I just can't do it.
He doesn't say no.
That's it.
Doesn't say yes. But if someone accused you, what would you say?
Yeah, I did it.
Okay.
Just get over and done with it. All right, yeah, fuck it, you got me.
He really does.
Even if you didn't do it.
He really does earn so many points on this
while she's questioning him, he goes directly to...
He doesn't say, like, no, oh my God. Like, wouldn't you be like, oh my God, no. No.
He goes straight,
I don't pay my bills.
Straight to being outraged about being accused.
Yes.
So I cannot believe that you would... In that situation, it's so easy to just be like, well, no, I didn't kill my former wife, and we can sit here and talk about it all day. I'll give you all the fucking details. But it says, like, oh, I can't believe that you would accuse me of that.
And then he's and just then like, this out. Is a lot. I think I should go. You think? It's a lot. He just can't deal with shit.
He sucks. Hearing and his so voice pissed me off.
Yeah.
He sucks big
little,
time.
Little weasel.
Little bitch.
He suddenly realized that he's still recovering from the tragic loss of his wife. There it is. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Feel send like that I'm, to me, please.
Feel like I'm about to get my Lexapro refilled.
It's so calming and amazing. All right.
Yeah, try to associate that song with calm and amazing when you're out of your medication and you're freaking the fuck out, Jesse.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
It's that was on the phone, right? He called, she called him on the phone to confirm.
No.
Or is that in person?
That was in person.
She got put on hold.
I wish.
Well, it sounded like he was cutting out or something in the recording.
I think she had the phone closer to her. You know, like, you don't want to get caught, right? So she has the phone, like, somewhere.
Okay, yeah.
So you can't really hear him as well. But if you get the recording, you can, like, raise levels on him or whatever. Where are you, Coop?
So in the conversation, Rachel flat out asks Nick if he's lying about what happened to Heidi. Instead of answering the question, Nick acts hurt and offended. He claims to be shocked that she would suspect that he had something to do with the death of his previous wife. He then cuts the conversation short and walks away. Unsurprisingly, Rachel and Nick divorced in 2018.
Oh, gosh. Oh, such a bright
too bad
future,
for her.
Huh?
She really, I feel really like they could have worked that right out. There.
She's still alive, though.
I know. Run, girl.
Oh, yeah. I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
Having sufficiently debunked Nick's account of the events, police arrested him in 2021 and charged him with the murder of Heidi Fergus. And again, this is a really recent case, so the details of everything in between are kind of hard to come by. Me personally, I'm waiting for NPR to do something about it so I can get all the details. I don't have money for fucking journalists to go all over the country and interview people. So he was arrested in 2021 and charged with the murder of Heidi Fergus. Unlike many cases of murder involving financial issues, life insurance wasn't an instigating factor in Heidi's death.
And yeah.
So at first I was questioning whether or not he was guilty. And then once I read about more evidence,
what's
I was thinking
the
like,
evidence
oh, okay,
that
yeah.
proves it? What's the evidence that thing.
Proves it? They actually, they have circumstantial evidence, really, because they don't have life insurance. They don't have a smoking gun, if you will. It's really just a lot of things, you know, piling on each other, all circumstantial, right? And the prosecutors were like, I don't know. They have Rachel's recording, but they can't. They found that inadmissible. Also, the sketch, they found that that was...
Does that guy have a twin brother or something?
Hmm?
The guy that was in jail on the day that happened, maybe he's got a twin brother or something.
There is no way in hell that there's two people in the world that look like that.
That look like this motherfucker.
I still don't believe that there's one person in the world that looks like that.
So the only thing they had was... Whoa. You fuck.
The only thing they had was their phone not on silent.
Yeah. Because I'm playing shit from here, bro. Yeah, so the only thing that they had was they were like, he just did it out of embarrassment. They were like, he's just such a fucking weasel, and he had a pattern. And the 911 calls were very weird. So they played those. They also showed the entryway, super small. There's a tiny table next to the door with like lots of things on it. Candlesticks, like a little glass tachy, whatever, papers.
Nothing got knocked over. A
receipt. Nothing was knocked over. The receipt wasn't even like blown away. You know what I mean? There was no, and it is small enough that
it was. As we all know, St. Paul is called the Windy City.
Right. What? Brotherly Big Apple.
Big Apple. That's what it is.
Orange.
Sorry, I think I mixed it up with San Diego. No, San Diego was
the Garden Winnie, the Windy Garden Apple.
Brotherly,
the Big Windy Garden Apple.
Auschwitz.
There it is.
That's
yeah.
When the police went through and did their investigation, they found zero physical evidence. All physical evidence, like even on the shotgun itself, no fingerprints aside from Nick's fingerprints.
But wouldn't you have found
no sign of a struggle?
They said he was wearing, they said the intruder was wearing gloves. So, you know, look, you can find, he's obviously appealing, but like you could find evidence or you could go either way. His friends are fully on his side, right? His friends and family are like, there's no fucking way.
He's a weasel, family, but he didn't kill somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Even a friendly non-life or death struggle has, I mean, the three of us obviously know this from our dirtbag past, but even a non-life or death struggle ends up with a big mess around it. Joel, I specifically remember a time that I had my bedroom door broken open by just some random drunk guy.
Was that me?
No, not you.
Oh.
Not you. The guy that you...
Could have been.
The guy you got in the fight with.
Oh.
Even it hadn't even turned into a fight at that point, and he just happened to fall through my bedroom door. Like, if there's a stand right by the, like...
That's true.
You know, the table right by the door with the keys and everything like that. How the hell do you get in a life or death fight with someone right next to all this stuff and not leave any evidence of it? Nothing's knocked over. The only evidence that anything happened is your dead wife in the kitchen.
Right.
It really, overall, just doesn't...
And the angle and all of that. The defense was really leaning on this 65 seconds in between the calls, saying that he, whatever you're saying he did and, you know, shot her, shot himself, whatever, like he doesn't have enough time to do it because we're looking at her 911 call, 65 seconds later, his 911 call. So within that time, the prosecutors have to show that he could do
all these things.
And they ended up doing a reenactment in the courtroom showing that like plenty of time. Like if we sat here for 65 seconds.
It's a long time.
Let's do it. No, I'll press.
We already did.
Put the whole thing back on.
Like when you hear it, you go, oh my God, that's no time. When you're sitting there. And a jury sitting there, you know, it's a long time. And
Another thing that does kind of give me pause, 65 seconds is a long time to just sit and wait and do nothing. Imagine spending that time. So you just shot your wife in the back. And then how much time is it going to take you to work yourself up to the point where you're going to stick a shotgun up to your leg and pull the trigger? It would take me at least like 2 minutes, minimum.
Because he's a weasel, maybe it was all an accident. Like, so, he was all stressed out because she's about to find out everything. He did think there was someone coming, and he's such a puss, he sent her first. When he got the gun, he was so scared, he accidentally shoots her. He was like, oh my God, and then accidentally shoots himself in the fucking foot.
Look, I mean, all theories on the table, but in this case, it really just comes off of, like, who was the best, like, who presented the best story, because they didn't have evidence, right? Yeah. Except for...
But he got guilty?
The pattern, and then the pattern that he was doing again with Rachel... The 65 seconds, which was plenty of time, as they showed, for him to shoot her, turn her over, I think,
yeah,
is what they said.
And
then go
back
to...
She was found laying on her back.
Walk back and shoot himself.
So he could have turned the body over after he had shot himself in the leg. That would make it a little
Could have,
little
but then that
harder.
Gives him
would have been
a
blood.
Lot more time yeah. to do what he did, right? Shoot her, shoot his leg... Whatever. So what they were saying is that he, you know, told her to go down. She's on the phone. And he's like, oh, fuck. Like, you're on the phone with 911. Like, you know, shot her. Then went to the door, like, unlocked it. Or they actually found, like, that it was pulled open. So he slammed the door open, right?
Yeah, and there were marks that... Some marks that show forced entry, but not necessarily the kind of marks that you'd see in most situations when it comes to forced entry. Like, the door jamb wasn't broken or anything like that. It was almost right. like, you know, you ever force open a bedroom door, it doesn't break the door jamb, it just kind of pushes the latch out of the way, and there's scrapes. Yeah. Aside from that, there really wasn't anything.
Right. Nick Furcus and his lawyer stuck with his initial story of the wide-eyed refugee from the ghettos of the Shire.
Yes.
Forcing their way into his home. Jurors didn't believe his story, and in May of 2021, Nick was found guilty of both first and second degree murder. He was sentenced to life in prison without a possibility of parole. It is believed that the hoodie wearing hobbit responsible for the murder escaped to Mordor and is now living under
nerd
their
jokes,
new name
jokes.
What is it?
Schmeagle. How is it that the three of us have been friends for so long and
she has no idea what any of
I don't
and,
know
and
what any of that is.
How do you hang out with two nerds like us? It's got to be infuriating.
I mean, because you're like undercover nerds.
We do tone it down a little bit when we're around Jesse.
When we get on a Lord of the Rings rabbit hole, you just notice that she's always gone. By the time we're done, we're like, oh, where'd Jesse go?
I've never. Yeah. And I shut that shit down pretty quickly. I don't know if you know
you do.
This.
You do a really
even
good
on my
job
show.
That.
I'm like, no.
Not going there.
We're not doing the nerd shit today.
I mean, outside
and I'm
of
sure
like,
it's a great film.
Outside of slurs against Asians, I think the second most common thing that you say is, shut up, nerds.
Yeah. I'm a bully and I shove nerds, dude.
Then number three is you talk with your fists.
So, obviously he's appealing, right? Because no physical evidence. And also they're just like, he was embarrassed.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough evidence. I think he did it, but...
Yeah, so, again, this is like a classic where we're like, yes, do we believe he did it? Sure. Do we want the justice system to work in a little bit different way? Yeah.
Hell no, because I'd be in prison. Are we not
There's
on the same
no
page
physical,
with that?
Clearly no physical evidence of your crimes.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the thing. If there's no, like, one thing that they can point to being like, yes, then there has to be... The way that there wasn't reasonable doubt is insane.
It's
kind of insane, right?
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's a unique case in the sense that really the only evidence that he was convicted on, like you were saying, is circumstantial. It's really strong circumstantial evidence, though. I mean, no signs, very little signs of forced entry. His story of how the struggle happened doesn't really make all that much sense. I don't know how many like life or death fights Heidi had been around, but I imagine she would be a little bit more panicked than that. If she was, I mean, you're literally watching your spouse fight over a weapon with a random home intruder. I would think that there would be a little bit more hysterics there coming from somebody working in finance. If she was
there's
like,
there's obviously more going on, but if you can't prove it, then maybe circumstantial murder. You should get like 10 lashes in public square, and then they let you go.
Or look, do we think he should be in jail at the very least for sending his wife down the stairs first?
Yeah, he should be.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And just all around being a little weasel, right?
Yeah, he should be punished for that.
And it's also a classic. These ones I love where, like, the wife is fucking brutally murdered. Head's cut off. Right?
Yeah.
Blood, her blood everywhere. And you get, you know. And they cut me too. Right? And it's like in the. So those kinds of cases, you're just like, really, dude? Really? The wife, your wife is fucking shot dead. Boom. Clean.
Yeah.
And you have a graze, like you said, not even like a straight through the like femur, anything, a flesh wound.
Yeah,
you know?
I really, really would love to see how that worked because
at the very least,
it's a big shotgun.
Yeah,
and if it ain't sawed off, it's those barrels are long as shit.
Yeah,
at
well,
the very
regardless,
least, you should be in
as far
jail.
As I know, like either it had to have been like a 20-gauge shotgun because a 12-gauge should have taken a giant chunk out of his thigh.
Yeah.
And it's like a if you got a really
like,
exceptionally big cyst removed.
It looked like a replica. Like it looked like it looked a little janky, the gun.
And oh, the gun itself. Yeah, a little,
you know?
Yeah, a little small.
Yeah. Like it didn't,
I mean, decent
look,
sized.
Sure,
if
but
you know what you're doing with it, you can get the job
yeah,
done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's another one of the things that I'm curious about with this case. How the hell did he, even if somebody else shot him, how did he only end up with that wound? Something
Thank
that they
you.
Could just pack with gauze and send him home 3 hours later?
9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10, whatever. Like, when this kind of situation happens where the husband somehow, they're him and the wife are in the same situation, intruder comes in, somehow the wife... He allowed his wife to get fucking brutally, right? And he's not tied up or anything, but this happens. And then he gets a little fucking wound and the person leaves the man there to live and tell the fucking story, right?
Sure, sure, sure.
And leave the woman, right? If anything.
Well,
no one's going to believe her.
Nothing but trouble from my experience.
No one's going to believe her.
Again,
yeah.
Like everything is circumstantial evidence, but it is... fairly strong circumstantial evidence when it following the process through from the way that he described it, the general like geography of the situation doesn't make any sense. So if he started struggling with the guy as soon as he came through the door, so his wife's in front of him, he starts struggling with the guy as soon as he came through the door, which the front door is very close to the bottom of the steps coming down from upstairs. The gun should have been facing out the door. But very quickly after the struggle started, it turned completely around and hit Heidi in the back and then went like another 30 degrees and then down to get him in the leg. And then whoever it was that broke into the house
strong little
just
hobbit.
Suddenly runs away. Hobbits are exceptionally strong.
Yeah.
Hobbits and halflings. Well, if you're going by like D&D rules, like halflings
Shut
can
the
be
fuck up.
Strong. Sorry. See, that's why we have Jesse on the show to keep us in line. The overall geography just doesn't make sense. And like you were saying earlier also, if everything that he says is true, the fact that he sent his wife down the stairs first, yeah, throw
Go
him in prison.
Jail.
It doesn't matter if he's guilty.
I don't
or
like
fuck
you.
That guy. Get him off the streets.
I don't like him.
Yeah.
Go to jail. You know what I'm saying? Like
maybe an owl did it.
Life in prison.
Life in prison, yeah.
Life in prison. I don't like you. You're weird, weasel looking. You send your little wife down first? Uh-uh. I don't buy it. I don't like you. And if he was free, how many fucking times? I mean, he still wouldn't pay a fucking bill, would he? I mean, I just don't think he can live in the world. He can rent, maybe, but he'd get evicted. constantly.
Well, I mean, he obviously can't even handle renting.
That's what I mean.
Paying a mortgage is the same as paying a rent. You just pay the money every single fucking month.
Right.
And he couldn't even handle that.
Right.
I'm just glad Rachel lived. Good for Rachel.
Good for Rachel.
Yeah. God bless her.
Right. They didn't let her testify either, which is like, fuck you.
Oh, well, God, fucking, she's just going to
go on. But by the way, I know, by the way, it would be like, you know, scorned ex-wife is all they would think. It probably would have hurt.
And he left his wet towels laying all over the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. And
never
they're like,
put the toilet seat down.
So put him in jail.
So he's in jail right now, waiting for.
He's appealing, and we'll see. And again, I think he's going to. I think he has a good chance, like I said, because there is no evidence.
But while he's in jail, if he's a little bitch, he's probably in some trouble in there.
He's a little bitch.
Yeah, he's going to get his ass kicked.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not going to get his cheeks clapped, though.
You don't think so?
Yeah, he's not pretty enough. In my opinion.
Oh, no. You'll show him.
Is he ugly?
Gosh, I mean, yeah.
Dude, show him.
Yeah.
Yeah, show, like, especially with both of his wives were attractive.
The sketch is more attractive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Than him. He's got, like, a weird flat head. Like, they fucking laid him on his.
Yeah, if you see any of the wedding pictures of him and Rachel, it's like, okay, to be honest, it's like
she's
me
hot.
Standing next to any of the girls that I date. It just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Right, she's hot. But, you know, we don't like him, so now he's getting prolapse and fucking in prison.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.